Today we're going to be looking briefly at the iconic story, and it's a true story, historical story of David and Goliath. And these stories are really important. They're in the Old Testament. These stories happened. They're real. They're true. But they're recorded for our benefit as Christians today. And the New Testament says that. And so what my intention is I want to make a point or two that's relevant to our lives today. And could I just say this as a little disclaimer? I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to say it. If I say something, you know, don't get offended at me. Just want to say that. Don't send me hate mail or anything like that. Just work the word. Just try and understand what I'm trying to say. And I'm saying it for a reason. And I just know that I might tread on a few toes today. But the intent is to encourage and to bring freedom and liberty. Amen. And also, if ever there's anything in my message that you think, oh, I really didn't understand that, it's okay to chase me up and say, hey, could you please explain? It's good to talk about the word. It's good to discuss it, even afterwards, for everybody to talk about what God said to you or talk about the word. You know, if you don't understand something, don't just sit on it. Talk to one of the leaders and maybe we can just clarify things. So I'm going to make a point or two. And then I want us to do is just make room for the Holy Spirit to build us up in Jesus' name before we go home. We want to. So that's where we're headed. We're going to finish just with a bit of prayer. Anybody could do with prayer today? Anybody need a bit of prayer? Okay, well, you know, let's aim for that, shall we? So let's read from the Bible on the screen. And it says this. This is from 1 Samuel 17, and I'm sure a number of you have read it before. It says, the Philistines now mustered their army for battle, and Saul, who was the king of Israel, countered by gathering his Israelite troops near the valley of Elah. So the Philistines and Israelites faced each other on opposite hills with the valley between them. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of mail weighed 57 kilos. That's like wearing a singlet that weighs 57 kilos. He also wore bronze leg armor. And this bronze is really important. It's emphasizing the word bronze. This is the latest in technology at that era in history. You know, he wore bronze leg armor and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and as thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 7 kilos. Wow. Imagine putting your shield up to that, 7 kilos, smashed straight through. His armor bearer walked ahead of him carrying a shield. Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. Why are you all coming out to fight? He called. I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. This guy's really confident, isn't he? But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken, and they began to run away in fright. So we've just read in that portion of scripture that the ancient enemies of Israel, the Philistines, have once again invaded Israelite territory. They did it quite frequently. And we've just read that the Philistines had a champion fighter named Goliath, who happened to be 9 foot tall. We read that Goliath was huge and he was exceptionally well armed and he was prepared for a fight. He was prepared for battle. Finally, we read that the Israelite soldiers, that they were shaken and they were afraid and they were unwilling to confront Goliath. A little later in the passage in the Bible, it tells us that Goliath kept showing up. Day after day, he'd come out of the camp of the Philistines and he would constantly threaten the Israelites. He would constantly taunt the Israelites with those threats. Yet, day after day as he did this, no one stepped forward to challenge him. No one told him to shut up because they were all filled with fear and despair. So this one man, Goliath, totally immobilized the entire army of Israel just by threatening them and taunting them. He brought the whole army to a standstill. So that's what we just read. So what relevance does this story have for you today? Well, in this story, the Israelites represent Christians. The Israelites represent you. So this story really is for you. The Israelites were the chosen people of God, like we are the chosen people of God today. Amen? And the Philistines represent the devil and the demonic powers of darkness that we wrestle with and that we underestimate. And Goliath represents the problems and the struggles of your life that flow from the spirits that are against you. Anybody here got problems? Anybody sitting next to a problem? Keep your hands down.
You might be.
And just like the Philistines invaded the Israelite territory to conquer them, so the devil attempts to invade our lives. And he does it disguised as problems, struggles, and distractions that we all have. And it could be problems with our kids, problems with our health, problems with temptation, problems with fear, phobias, worry, addictions, problems with relationships. You know, the world would be a better place if it wasn't for the people. Amen, amen. Problems with relationships, problems at work. And life becomes hard for us. And we can become distracted, even discouraged. And while these problems on the surface appear to be the natural things of life that everybody goes through, the truth is that often behind all such problems and struggles, behind them is the Philistine spirit. And if you don't recognize that, that becomes a problem in itself. And this Philistine spirit has got to be resisted. And it's got to be kicked out of our territory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Indeed, the Bible says this, for we're not fighting against people, flesh and blood enemies, though we seem to do a lot of that, don't we, you know? But they're not our enemies. We're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. But what are we doing? We're fighting against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. However, like those ancient Israelite soldiers, some Christians, and certainly nobody at Real Life Church, some Christians are losing their willingness to fight for what is rightfully theirs. They stop fighting. They don't confront the spiritual Goliaths that threaten them and mock them and taunt them. And they become passive in their faith. And the greatest effort they put things into is just, let's just be nice. I hate nice. We'll talk about that another day. Anyway, it's not biblical to be nice. It's biblical to be kind, but not, anyway, it doesn't matter. Talk about it another day. But it seems to me also that many Christians, nobody here at Real Life Church, don't even know how to fight against the devil anymore. They don't even know how to do it anymore. Don't know what to do. And so what happens? Well, then they become doormats for the devil to walk all over them. And they forget that Christ has given them authority, to trample upon lions and cobras. And maybe that's how it is for you today. Maybe you feel like Goliath is just wiping his dirty, filthy feet all over you and your family. And you know you're getting sick and tired of being sick and tired. Now, regarding the devil, regarding Goliath, the Bible speaks about us needing to be familiar with his evil schemes. Wake up. Be alert. Know your enemy. be familiar with his evil scheme so he can spot it straight away. And today I want to highlight an evil scheme of the devil that he uses against us Christians today. And he uses this evil scheme so he can strip away your willingness to stand up and fight. He don't want you to fight him. He don't want you to fight him. The last thing he needs is Christians fighting him. So he's got an evil scheme to undermine your willingness to stand up and fight for yourself and your family. And I've been trying to figure out how to explain this because it's a crafty, clever, evil scheme. And I keep seeing it being played out all the time. All the time. In books I read. It doesn't matter. I see it all the time. And I'm really alarmed, and that's why I'm preaching about it today. And so I'm trying to think, how do I explain this to you? So I've come up with this. I'm going to explain it through an imaginary conversation between some of the Israelite soldiers. Can we do it that way? So imagine with me those nervous Israelite soldiers gathering around a fire. When one of the soldiers started asking the other guys how they should respond to Goliath. And everybody was silent for a moment. And then one of the guys replied and said, well, I prayed deeply about Goliath. I asked God to remove him. But he's still there. God didn't answer my prayer. So it must be God's will that Goliath is doing what he's doing. Maybe even God sent him. The others listened and they just nodded in agreement. Then another soldier said, I feel the Lord wants Goliath to continue taunting us so we can learn some spiritual lessons and grow on the inside. Well, that piece of wisdom sounded deep and spiritual to the other soldiers, and they all nodded their heads again in agreement. Yeah, it must be true. Another soldier finally said this, I also feel that God does not want to change our situation, but he wants to use Goliath to change us within so we can become better Israelites. And as they pondered on that last profoundly deep statement, they suddenly became aware that they could hear laughter coming from the camp of the Philistines. That's about the best way I could explain what I'm saying. That conversation among the Israelites is totally imaginary. You can't read it in the Bible. I made it up. But I hear that conversation happening too many times amongst Christians. And the truth is, those ancient Israelite soldiers did not know what to do with Goliath because they allowed themselves to forget who they belonged to and who they were. That's what was going on. But the thing is, we can make the same mistake today as those Israelite soldiers did so long ago. We too can forget who we belong to and who we are. And I just want to remind you right now, let me tell you who you belong to. You belong to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And let me tell you, you're born again Christians. Never forget that. I belong to Jesus and I'm born again. And Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, he didn't save you so you could be a doormat for Goliath. He didn't save you to be a doormat for the devil so he can come and wipe his dirty feet all over you. You read the Bible yourself. There's no ministry in the Bible of being a doormat. It's not there. Jesus did not save you to be bullied and to be abused by the devil or by people for that matter. Jesus did not save you to live in fear and despair. You are a child of the living God. That's who you are. And the enemy has no right to steal away the good things that God has promised to you. Jesus saved you so you can fight the good fight of faith in Jesus' name. So, brothers and sisters, don't give Goliath a place in your life. Don't listen to bad theology, bad interpretations of the scriptures. Don't give Goliath a place in your life. Don't let him park in your territory. Don't let Goliath steal your joy and your strength. Get up and fight with the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. And when Goliath speaks fear to you, you speak the name of Jesus back to him. Confront him. Jesus said the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. We don't make friends with him. Jesus says my purpose is to give them, you and me, a rich and satisfying life. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So can God use the troubles of life to reveal his good nature to us? Absolutely. Absolutely. Of course he does. Can we grow in our faith as we persevere through adversity? Absolutely. That's biblical. Got no problems with that. Absolutely. The book of James says, count it all cost when you're going through tough times. God's working. God's there. But that is entirely different to you being a passive doormat for the devil. Two different things. God does not send you a fearsome Goliath. He doesn't send you trouble so you can change and become a better Christian.
That's right.
It's just absurd. God does not send or condone Goliaths to hurt you. That's my, like me hurting my little grandchild and say, well, there's some lessons in that for you, little boy. No way. God doesn't send trouble to test you. No. Rather, he doesn't send Goliath. Rather, God sent the Holy Spirit to change you and to make you more like Jesus. And the fruit of the Spirit comes from the Spirit of God, not from letting some Goliath march over you and teach you a lesson. Secondly, God has given you his word, the Bible. So he's given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us the Bible. Change, revelation, and spiritual growth comes from applying God's holy word to our lives. The lessons God wants us to learn are in the Bible. Shall I really go for it? I'm just pulling back a little bit. I just got the... I'll go for it. God doesn't go around knocking you around on the head. You know, people talk about the punishments of God. You know, I find the lessons to learn as a Christian are in the Word, and God punishes me through His Word. He convicts me through His Word. He doesn't hurt me with a Goliath. He brings conviction through His Word. And so from the Bible, we learn these lessons. And then, learning those lessons, we then take God's word and we impose his word upon our circumstances. We impose his word upon our troubles. We impose his word upon bad attitudes. We impose his word upon our problems and upon any turmoil that we have. And we do this in order to bring everything under the influence of the mighty name of Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We delight in applying the word of God to the circumstances of our lives. That's the way around is meant to be. And so that's what Christians do. So we don't tolerate Goliaths hurting us. We don't tolerate Goliaths in our lives, and we don't tolerate Goliaths in our families messing around with our kids. We go to war against them. Let me tell you, one of the callings of God that you've upon your life is if you're a parent or if you're a grandparent, one of the callings of God upon your life is that you go to war on behalf of your kids and upon half of your grandkids. And they might not even be believers yet, but you fight for them in Jesus' name. And we're here to cast down the strongholds of the wicked one. And we see strongholds of the wicked one in people all around here. That's why we have community services. And you don't pull strongholds down by being nice to people. It's only by the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We're here to pull down strongholds of the wicked one. And we're here to conquer in the name of Jesus Christ. We are called to be holy rebels in a fallen world. We're the rebels in this fallen world. That is why we make Bible reading, everybody, we make Bible reading a primary focus as Christians, because we want to grow in our faith and we want to be strong. We want to be fruitful. We want to be filled with the thoughts of God, and we want to be clear about who we are in Jesus Christ. And so as a Christian, prayer and Bible reading has to be our priority. So we're in a fight. Eventually, David, the shepherd boy, showed up, and he came to visit his older brothers who were soldiers in the Israelite army. However, as he was just chatting with his brothers and saying, "How are you doing?" and giving a report about home, Goliath at that moment stepped out like he did every day, several times a day, and he shouted his usual rant, abuse, profanity, all of that sort of stuff. And young David was just appalled and angered by Goliath and his absolute arrogance as he said, "I defy the armies of the living God." And then he was shocked that nobody took him up on his challenge for a fight. And so David himself decided, "I'll fight him." He was ready to fight Goliath. And David, he was not in any mood for making up spiritual reasons why Goliath should be tolerated. And so within a few hours, David the shepherd boy found himself in the valley face to face with this giant Goliath. And this is what the Bible says. Goliath walked out towards David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. So David had red cheeks. "Am I a dog?" he roared at David, "that you come at me with a stick?" And he cursed David by the names of his gods. "Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals," Goliath yelled. David replied to the Philistine. David's keeping his cool here. David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head." Amen. See, no, he won't be nice. "I'm going to cut off your head, mate." And then he was on a roll, so he kept going. "And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and not with spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." Whoa! Wow, what spirit in this young man. And we all know the outcome of the battle. David ran at Goliath, the Bible says, and using his shepherd's sling, he hurled a stone and brought the giant Philistine down. And then David cut off Goliath's head. He actually did it with Goliath's own sword. And the Israelites then charged after the Philistines and ran them out of the territory of Israel. And maybe it's time for you and me to run some Philistines out of our territories in Jesus' name. You know, it's the stuff that we're tolerating. Today's the day to say, "No, I'm not tolerating this anymore. Things have to change." And David had a mighty victory. He had an incredible victory. Yet David did not win this battle because of his own skill with the sling. That's just absolute rubbish to even suggest that. This would not have been the first time that Goliath, who is a champion, would have faced an opponent with a sling. It was a common weapon of the day. He knew how to fight somebody who had a sling. David did not win because he was skilled with the sling. David told us why he won the battle. David said this, "This is the Lord's battle and he will give you to us." That's why I won the battle. David went onto the battlefield because he knew in his heart that God was with him, standing right beside him out there in that battlefield. David had confidently said previously to the king of Israel, Saul, "The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine." And David defeated Goliath. Not with his sling. He defeated Goliath by his faith in God and not by his own abilities. And he's the same for us today. And one of the primary lessons we learn from the Bible is that God is always moved to act. He's moved to action when someone exercises their faith in God's character and in His promises. God is never moved into action by our doubts. God is never moved into action by our good works. God is never moved into action by our pleading or our begging. And God is never moved into action just because we have a problem. God is moved to act on your behalf and my behalf only by our faith in His character and our faith in His word. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Rather, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That little verse from Acts chapter 16 verse 31, that little verse summarizes the way Christians overcome all of the Goliaths of life. We're saved by faith in Jesus and we live by faith in Jesus. We walk by faith in Jesus. We pray by faith in Jesus and we conquer by faith in the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. I'm nearly finished, but this bit's really important. Jesus Christ is the living Word of God through whom the universe was created. Amen? Amen. You know, His existence didn't start at Bethlehem. He never started. He's Almighty God. Amen. He's the living Word of God. He's there in Genesis chapter 1. Let there be light. That's Jesus operating. And that living Word of God, Jesus Christ, has given us the written Word of God. The Bible, we call it the Bible. And the Bible is Holy Scripture. It's Holy Scriptures. All 66 books, Holy Scriptures. And the Bible says about itself, it says, all Scripture is God breathed. Yeah. Using men of all sorts of people, using their personalities, but God and breathed. Yeah. It's the Holy Word of God. Yes. And so the power of God, the creator of the universe who said, let there be light. That same power that created the universe lies within the Holy Bible's instructions, its teachings, and it lies within its promises. And so as you meditate and read the good promises of God, as you meditate on what Jesus Christ has done for you, and as you apply the Bible's instructions to your life as recorded in the Bible, then what happens to you? Then what happens is hope starts to build. Yes. Hope comes through the book. Through the book. Your worldview starts to change. Whoa, I'm seeing the world differently. And faith starts to grow within your heart. And as you exercise your faith upon the circumstances of life, as you persevere against adversity, your faith and your confidence in God's promises become stronger and stronger. And then you will say with confidence like David, the Lord, this is you, the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. He will rescue me from trouble. And then like David, you can stand on the many battlefields of life knowing in your heart that God is compelled to be with you because you believe and trust in Him. And like David, you will cast down and destroy all the different Goliaths that will dare to threaten you and your family. Now, just about done, but some of these giants, they're tough. And the battle may be long, but we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So in conclusion, let's not be doormats for the devil anymore. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Seriously, I don't want to be a doormat for the devil anymore. And let's not be passive in our faith and say, you know, let's not go, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. Yeah, she'll be right, mate. Well, it won't be right if you don't stand your ground. Let's start making room for Goliath in our lives and in our families. Goliath has to go in Jesus' name. Yes. So fight the good fight of faith today in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's stand, everybody.